You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Aaron Kane, at underscore Kane, or on Twitter, at Locked On Balls. It's the Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Balls, so buckle up. It's going to be a fun one. We'll do Twitter Tuesday in segment number one. In segment two, let's check in some NFL Vols. Ross Jackson, the college coordinator for the Locked On Podcast Network, also the host for Locked On Saints, will dial in. He'll tell us about Alvin Kamara, Marquez Callaway, Shai Tuttle, and some others down in Saints camp. And then we're going to check in with Peyton Manning and his Hall of Fame speech. I tried to pull out a couple of clips, and it was just all so good. So we're going to listen to the bulk of Peyton Manning's Hall of Fame speech from the other night in segment number three. All that here for a Tuesday show. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Vols sent you. Okay, so let's get right into it. Twitter Tuesday question. Jason wants to chime in. Quarterbacks, why are the transfers sticking out? I saw your tweet earlier today. So I have gone on record on the radio the last couple of days and on Twitter at underscore Kaner and said that both Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton are starting to separate themselves, in my opinion. Now, take it for what it is. I, like every other media member, have not been at practice an awful lot in terms of we only see three periods, one of which is stretching. Okay, it wasn't like the beginning of camp last week on Wednesday and Thursday when they opened it up for eight periods where we got to see an awful lot. So it's kind of that normal, you know, there's so much more that goes on outside of what we can see. So I'll preface it with saying that. But I will say, outside of the fact that you can do more with Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton, they just look good throwing the football. They look a lot better throwing the football the last couple of days. Their mechanics are more crisp. They've played more football, obviously, than Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer, but they're just throwing the football better, to be completely honest. Intermediate, the ins, the outs, the slants, throwing the ball downfield, which is what happened yesterday during an individual period. Man, I thought Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton looked really, really good. I thought Hendon Hooker probably looked the best, for being honest. Does that mean that those two guys are in the lead to be the starting quarterback? I need to see it. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. I need to see a quarterback run this offense. And I haven't seen that since the spring game, okay? So none of us have. You know, can Joe Milton comprehend this offense in terms of the pace and the tempo and what Josh Heupel wants to do? I don't know, because I haven't been around to see that. Can Hendon Hooker? Well, we saw him do it a little bit during the spring game. Need to see more of it. We saw Harrison Bailey do it in the spring game at a high number, but he struggled doing it in the scrimmages prior. Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton have looked better in practice here in the last couple of days because they've thrown the football better and they're playing with more confidence, in my opinion. Now, Harrison Bailey could be balling it out as soon as we leave. I don't know. It's moving week at Tennessee Vols camp, okay? There's a scrimmage on Thursday. There's a scrimmage on Tuesday. We're not going to know a whole lot until we hear feedback from Josh Heupel and those assistant coaches on how those scrimmages went, because that is when quarterbacks and really everybody will truly begin to separate themselves. So that's kind of my take on that. I mean, it's easy to see who has the higher ceiling of any of the quarterbacks. That's Joe Milton, bar none. But just because Joe Milton has the higher ceiling, that might not necessarily mean that he's going to be leading this offense. Again, this offense, it's not just your normal pro-style offense. No, this is one that kind of comes with a lot of bells and whistles, and it might take a little time to get used to. So, Jason, appreciate the question. Taylor wants to know, what's the plan for the offensive line now that K'Ron Calvert is injured? Yeah, good question. So I mentioned on yesterday's podcast that it could be Dane Davis at left tackle, could be Darnell Wright at right tackle, Cade Mays could play guard, could be Cade Mays at right tackle, could be, you know, Dane Davis at left tackle and Darnell Wright backing both of those guys up. I think it's more of the latter, but in terms of what I saw at practice on Monday morning, for the first time we saw, you know, in some of the practice drills and some of the group work and everything, we saw Darnell Wright jumping up there first at left tackle. And that's the first time anybody has jumped up there first at left tackle since the beginning of spring practice. It's been Dane Davis consistently. Our guest on Locked On Vols yesterday. Shout out Dane Davis. it was Darnell Wright jumping up there at left tackle first. Dane Davis, for the first time, we saw him rep at right tackle with Cade Mays looking on. So I think the plan right now is to see if one of those two guys, again, can solidify the right tackle spot, kind of like what they were trying to do with K'Ron Calvert. If they can, Cade Mays will slide in, but I would go ahead and prepare yourself for Cade Mays playing tackle this season. I kind of mentioned that yesterday. It's kind of tough to move Cade Mays right now simply because you're just in a bind. You're so thin at tackle right now. But I will tell you this, with Cade Mays playing right tackle, if that's what it ends up being, Jerome Carvin, Javonte Spragg is playing the guards, Cooper at center. One of those two, whichever one's not playing left tackle, Darnell Wright or Dane Davis, will be the swing man, meaning he'll be both the backup tackles. That way he comes in, plays one of the tackles, they can slide Cade down to guard if they need to. So that's what I saw at practice on Monday morning. We'll see exactly what I see, you know, later on this morning and later on with the rest of the week. I think they're trying to find guys that can play both tackle spots, and if they show out in camp, then yeah, that'll give you reason to slide Cade down there in guard. But we will have to see. I think it's going to be tough to move Cade Mays away from right tackle right now. So we will have to see. It's unfortunate what happened to Kayron Calvert. Again, I think that he could have really helped Tennessee this year. Move on to Paul. What position group scares you the most? Well, offensive tackle is one of those simply because of the razor-thin, you know, depth. You went into it having three guys trying to play two positions to move Cade Mays down, meaning you had four offensive tackles essentially. Now you have three offensive tackles essentially. Can Jeremiah Crawford, can William Parfitt Griffin, can R.J. Perry step up and develop and be, you know, feel good about themselves, at least in Tennessee's eyes, to maybe play them if they have to? We'll have to see, but that's asking a lot for some guys who haven't been here a long time. We continue at my team at VolQuest. We continue to hear some pretty good things about William Parker, but again, he's just a true freshman, so we'll have to see how they develop. Offensive tackle scares me a little bit because the depth. Inside linebacker, you guys know my thoughts on that. You have Juwan Mitchell and nobody else. Yeah, you have Jeremy Banks coming back. He's played an awful lot, but after them, I mean, do you have, you know, Morvin Joseph's backup inside linebacker, Aaron Beasley? Okay, Roman Harrison was thought to be practicing an inside linebacker, but he's been more an edge so far during camp. Inside linebacker, you are razor thin. You have no depth whatsoever. You have Quazi Garland and Solon Page, who are the veterans that kind of man the fort here in spring. But do you really want those two guys being your two inside guys to come game time? I don't know. Maybe they can come in and spell some plays and everything. That'd be good. But I don't think Tennessee's looking in that direction. So off the tackle, inside linebacker, and depth in the secondary. Yes, cornerback got better. You still need to develop some guys, especially at safety and at nickel, because nickel is such an important part of the game. Is it going to be Theo Jackson, or will it be Danico Slaughter? Will it be Tamarian McDonald? Will it be somebody else? We will have to see. Those are a couple of position groups. Paul, appreciate the question. And last up, we have Logan. What do you think of Mike Farrell's prediction? Well, that's Rivals Mike. Of course, he's a national analyst. And if the name kind of reminds you of something, but you can't really place it, he is the national analyst that teed off on Trey Smith when he slipped in the draft. A very unprofessional moment for Mike Farrell, but he went ahead and owned it and apologized and said that that was, again, unprofessional of him. But this time around, he's going through and you know, deciphering and ranking each Power 5 conference and saying how each team will finish in each conference. Gets to the SEC. He has Tennessee finishing 4-8, finishing 13th out of 14th in the SEC, 6th in the SEC East, just ahead of Vanderbilt. So that means South Carolina would be finishing ahead of Tennessee, according to Rivals Mike. Tennessee would obviously, I guess, lose against Pittsburgh and then beat Vanderbilt, and there's your four wins. I don't buy into that. I'm not saying Tennessee's going to be much better. I mean, I think Tennessee could win six games this year. I do believe that. I think Tennessee will win five games, no doubt. So I guess I would disagree with it first and foremost. But the reasoning, you know, Farrell's giving this prediction for is because of all the change in the terminal and everything that is under the program, and saying that there was just too much chaos in this offseason for it to be a solidified unit moving forward for 2021. I disagree with that as well, because I think Josh Heupel's come in here, and I think this team loves Josh Heupel. I really, really do. Again, no games have been played. No true adversity's been had so far, and I get that. You know, we're only week two of camp here, but I would disagree with that as well. So I would disagree with Mike Farrell's prediction. I think Tennessee will be a little bit better than that, but again, it's not like Tennessee's going to be winning eight or nine games in 2021, in my opinion. That'll do it here for Twitcher Tuesday, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. That was a lot of fun. Don't forget, next Tuesday, we'll do it again for Twitter Tuesday. DM, tweet me all the questions you may have on Tennessee football, Tennessee recruiting, Tennessee basketball, and more at _Caner and at Locked On Vols. We'll check in with the host of Locked On Saints, Ross Jackson, on some Tennessee Vols in Saints camp when we return here in a moment on Locked On Vols. But first, BetOnline. It's the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing. You can track all the long balls, all the deep flies, all that action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, information of all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and the contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game and put your sports knowledge to use as your favorite teams prep throughout their playoffs runs. Head on over to the website, use that mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. Want to welcome on to the show one of the leaders for the Locked On Podcast Network, Ross Jackson. He does Locked On Saints, and he is the college coordinator for all the college podcasts within the network, does a lot of work with Tegna. Ross, appreciate the time, man. I know you're busy. I know I'm busy. Thanks for making the time.
Hey, man, happy to do it. Happy to be here. And I'm always, always happy to talk about some Vols down south here in the Big Easy, man. So I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. So you have been covering Saints camp for the last week or so, and I want to ask about some Vols that are in camp. We'll start with Alvin Kamara. Obviously, he's the most notable Tennessee alumni probably playing in the NFL right now. You know, former NFL Rookie of the Year in his role. How is his role going to be impacted with the retirement of Drew Brees?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a couple of different things that impact his role now, right? You have the retirement of Drew Brees, you have the unavailability of Michael Thomas to open up the season, you have either Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston coming in to play quarterback in their first year fully involved in the system, and a lot of inexperience around the wide receiver position as well as the tight end position. So really, when you look at the weapons for the New Orleans Saints, not only is Alvin Kamara already your game breaker, right? Your guy who can break off a big play at any point. You just get the ball in his hands and wait to see the magic. But he's kind of the only option for them at this point over on the offensive side. So I expect that he's going to see at least a pretty heavy load to get started in the 2021 season. He'll continue to be in rotation with some of these other running backs, but I expect for the first few weeks, more than a handful of games, that he'll be the focal point for this offense.
You know, when I believe it was Mark Ingram a couple years ago, when he was suspended for their first four games of the year, and they just went AK, you know, all day, and they, you know, passed it to him, threw it to him, and he was, you know, right up there with the league leaders in receiving and rushing for that first quarter of the season. So obviously he can get it done. A volunteer that, you know, took the league by storm last year and is undoubtedly a part of this offensive group for the Saints now moving forward. Marquez Callaway, a great story, undrafted, and now going to be one of the guys that a new quarterback in New Orleans leans on.
Yeah, I was shocked that he was undrafted. I mean, his football IQ was off the charts. He knows exactly where to be, when to be, and how to be in all cases. You have Michael Thomas, who's going to be missing the beginning of the season, getting his ankle surgery a little late for the season, so he won't be available. Emmanuel Sanders is now in Buffalo. Tre'Quan Smith dealing with injuries. So far, you know, as I sit here at camp, Marquez Callaway is the guy. I mean, he gets all of the attention, not only between the 20s, but within the 20s as well. So you've seen him be a big go-to target in the red zone, averaged over 20 yards, over 21 yards per catch his final season with Tennessee. I was shocked that he went undrafted, but very grateful that he ended up in New Orleans, because he has a really good opportunity here with the way that the wide receiver position has unfolded this offseason for the Saints, and he'll look to take advantage of it for certain.
Well, as Vol fans know listening to this podcast, bad quarterback play often held back Marquez Callaway.
Of course.
A lot of those guys on the team and the overall record and everything like that. When the Saints are at full strength, is Callaway a three or a four? Kind of where does he fit in there at full strength?
It's interesting because, of course, in the New Orleans Saints offense, it depends, right? In any game, anyone can be the number one option based upon matchups and mismatches that Sean Payton creates. He's a genius when it comes to scheming wide receivers. I look at him as a three for the most part because the Saints like their big slot guys. Now he's probably going to end up being an X receiver for you, maybe a little bit of a flanker on the opposite, on the strong side over with the tight end. So we'll see exactly how it all works out depending upon how they feel on a kind of a game plan basis getting started early on in the season. But right now he looks ready to take the number one spot.
Former Tennessee tight end Ethan Wolf, who's kind of been clinging to some roster spots around the NFL, trying to make a name for himself. He's with the Saints. And what's his status trying to make this team? I know that he might be banged up right now, but what's it look like for Ethan Wolf?
Yeah, dealing with an ankle injury at the moment, out for at least a week, starting back to about the middle of last week, the second week of camp. So it's going to be a little bit tough for him. He's going to lose some ground like that because he's got, you know, Adam Trautman is the number one tight end here, but Nick Vanette is still around. And then you have a guy like Juwan Johnson who changed position to tight end that's been getting a lot of attention during camp. So he'll have to really perform in the preseason games as well as in the game plan sort of preparation portions of the of camp coming up, which will give him an opportunity once he comes back. They do like him. He's a solid blocker. He can catch. You know, he's got good hands. 6'6". He's a big guy. So he fits the prototype. It's just at some point, time on task is going to be a little bit of a challenge for him.
Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints. You need to check it out if you are looking for some great Vols coverage in the NFL, because the Saints lead the NFL and former Vols on the roster. Let's move over to the defensive side of the football. Shy Tuttle, a guy that, again, has been in the league for a couple of years, and he's made a lot of big plays. How's he looking so far in camp?
Yeah, another guy that's getting a lot of opportunity. David Onyemata is going to be suspended for the first six games of the season. So he won't be back until week 8 of the season because of their awkwardly positioned bye week early on in the year. And so because of that and Sheldon Rankin's departure over the course of the offseason, it already looked like Shy Tuttle was already in to step into a starting role. Now it's even bigger for him. So he has been somebody that we've all looked at and said, all right, he's going to be the next guy up. He's certainly been performing like it in camp, making some good plays in the run game. He's also a really good penetrator from a three tech spot, but you can also line him up at nose. His versatility is something that New Orleans Saints love, and they love developing undrafted free agent defensive tackles in particular. They love that work on the defensive line, and so far he's been paying off for sure. And of course, he stiff-armed Matt Ryan into oblivion, so we just can't forget that.
We will never, ever forget that. Poor Matt Ryan, man. He's the butt of many, many jokes. And at least he's not Mark Sanchez, so that's good.
That's fair.
Last one. Speaking of undrafted free agents, a guy that I did not think was not surprised whatsoever that he went ahead and declared for the NFL draft, but just kind of knew he wasn't going to get drafted likely, is Bryce Thompson. And he's trying to make this team. What has Bryce Thompson been doing in camp so far?
Yeah, I mean, he's made some great plays on the ball. His closing speed is evident, particularly in the flats. He's very active close to the line of scrimmage, which we know is something that the New Orleans Saints like. He's very physical, good in man coverage. He had an interception in the Monday return to camp after having Sunday off of Taysom Hill in the red zone. So he's made some really nice plays, and he's making a name for himself. Right now, if you look at the undrafted free agent class for the New Orleans Saints, Bryce Thompson feels like the guy that has the biggest opportunity, or at least the most available opportunity to make the roster, if nothing else. Certainly, I think he'll end up on the practice squad and then potentially be a game day elevation for the team. If he can show some viability on the special team side, that'll certainly help him out.
All right, last one. It's not Vols related, but I want to get your expertise just because I'm curious. I mean, it's always, what about the quarterbacks here at Tennessee camp? It's got to be Jameis, right? I mean, they're not going to start Taysom Hill, right?
Jameis is my expectation, but I'll tell you what, Jameis hasn't done himself many favors in camp. He hasn't had a bad camp. He hasn't made bad plays or anything like that. He just hasn't separated himself. And the training camp environment is an environment that allows his skills to shine as opposed to Taysom Hill's ability on his feet. You're not going to see that portion of Taysom Hill's game really shine in training camp because can't nobody hit the quarterback? Like, that's not happening. So this is an opportunity for Jameis to really start separating himself. But we've seen him remain conservative, try to mitigate mistakes, things like that, which is still of benefit to him. If he can maintain that, but also get some of those shot plays down that make him special, then I think that he'll have a little bit of a clearer path. But at the moment, it's hard to find the separation between the two, if I'm being honest.
Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. Where can we listen to your work? Where can we watch your work? And of course, it's not just Locked On Saints. It's Locked On a couple of different things as well.
Absolutely. Locked On everything over here. Yes, of course, Locked On Saints you can find on any of your favorite podcast providers every Monday through Friday, just like here with Locked On Vols. And of course, you can also catch Locked On Saints over on YouTube if you like the visual experience as well. And of course, you can always follow along with all the work at Ross Jackson, NOLA, N-O-L-A, and Tuesdays over in Locked On NFL with my good buddy, Luke Braun. It's part content, part fun, I think, is the way to really explain the Tuesday episodes, because we're a little bit of a trip.
Big thanks to Ross Jackson, the host of Locked On Saints, for checking in on some of our Vols down in Saint Camps. Alvin Kamara, of course, you have Shy Tuttle, Bryce Thompson, Ethan Wolf, Marquez Callaway, all those guys. Big thanks to Ross. He does a fantastic job leading this network and especially leading the college podcasting platform for the network. So big thanks to him. He is a great guy. Check him out on Twitter. He's at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. All right, guys, let's check it out. RockAuto.com. We'll talk Rock Auto before we get into Peyton Manning's Hall of Fame speech here in just a moment. But RockAuto.com. Again, this episode is brought to you in part by my friends who have been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. That is RockAuto.com. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer, you have access to RockAuto.com right at home or in your pocket. So save time and money when using RockAuto.com. Again, why choose to spend up to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from your chain store or your car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts to customers for the do-it-yourselfers or the professionals, again, for 20 years. The price is always reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could possibly need in brake parts and tail lamps, motor oils, even the new carpets. You can go and explore their easy-to-navigate-through website right now to find the solution for all of your auto part needs. So right now, go to rockauto.com. Don't wait. If you have an auto part issue, troubles with your vehicle, with your car, with your truck, go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. We got a final segment here left on a Tuesday Locked On Vols. Guys, I appreciate you for tuning in as always. We'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. More camp updates for Tennessee as we make our way through a fall camp. I'm your host, Eric Kane, radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, a writer and contributor for the Volcus.com website covering Tennessee football and recruiting. Okay, so I've had a lot of you guys DM me and say, hey, I want to hear more of Peyton Manning's speech. I want to hear this part of Peyton Manning's speech. I want to hear this part when he's talking about Archer, this dig at Tom Brady. And quite frankly, I made a bunch of cut-ups, but the whole speech is so damn good. I'm not even going to lie. It's just so good. So I don't think you guys will call me lazy. I don't think you guys will absolutely hate it if I just plug in his entire 8-minute speech here into the final segment of Locked On Vols here on a Tuesday. If you think it's lazy, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be lazy. I want you guys to hear it in case you haven't heard it yet, because it's just fantastic. Guy who loves football and who is really, it was a call to action. It was a presentation about preserving the game of football for years to come. Peyton Manning, a University of Tennessee treasure, a National Football League Hall of Famer who was inducted in Canton for the class of 2021. This past weekend, here is what Peyton Manning had to say at his enshrinement.
When I was playing for the Colts, there were just a few seconds on the play clock, and we needed the ball snapped quickly. I would yell, hurry, hurry, to my center, Jeff Saturday, and he would immediately snap me the ball. Well, I got to tell you, there you go. Tonight's speech is an all-time hurry, hurry. The 2021 induction class wants to thank those previous inductees who gave long-winded acceptance speeches, forcing us to have a whopping 6 minutes to recap our football careers. I want to give a special thanks to my old rival, Ray Lewis, for being here tonight. Ray just finished giving his speech that he started in 2018. Next year, acceptance speeches will probably shrink to 4 minutes. And speaking of rivals, my good friend Tom Brady is here tonight. By the time he is inducted, by the time Tom Brady is inducted in his first year of eligibility in the year 2035, he'll only have time to post his acceptance speech on his Instagram account. The legendary John Madden says that the Hall of Fame bus whisper to each other at night. And it's actually true. My son Marshall and I have heard it. But I also think that they run plays at night. They scrimmage. They throw a little 7-on-7. The other night I had a dream that I was in one of those scrimmages. The other team's coaches were Vince Lombardi and Paul Brown. My coaches, Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson. That's right, a Cowboy and a Steeler working together only in Canton, Ohio. We were on the 50-yard line with only 3 seconds left in the game. Coach Cowher called a running play. I said, Coach, I'm going to have to audible. Omaha. I caught a pass play. My bus faked a handoff to Barry Sanders. I threw a 20-yard break-in route to Michael Irvin right as Deacon Jones and Ray Nitschke hit me at the same time. Irvin, as he was getting tackled by Ronnie Lott, then lateraled to Steve Largent, who was in a foot race down the sideline with Daryl Green and Lim Barney. The savvy Largent, knowing he couldn't win a foot race with Daryl Green, then lateraled back to Lance Allworth, who dove into the end zone for the game-winning score. Now, yesterday, it was just a dream, but tonight, it's reality. Anyway, I just think it's pretty cool to say you're on the same team as Johnny Unitas and Slinging Sammy Ball. I am honored to be a member of this elite class and a teammate of Drew's, Coach Flores, John, Calvin, Allen, and Charles. To be inducted on the same weekend with one of my favorite teammates of all time, Edgerrin James, is a thrill. Being reunited with Edgerrin, my old teammates, the great Marvin Harrison, Marshall Faulk, our coach architect, Bill Polian, our coach leader, Tony Dungy, is really something special. And I'm proud to be on the same team again with John Elway and to join fellow Denver Bronco alums, Steve Atwater and John Lynch in this weekend's induction class. And there's room for more Colts and Broncos in here, I'm just saying. We have inherited the history of this sport, even helped create it, but our responsibility cannot stop there. If we simply relive history and don't ignite the future of the sport, then we're not doing football justice. Each of us has deep roots in this game. Football even helped us carve out a place to belong. In my youth in New Orleans and in Newman School, football carved out a place for my favorite quarterback, my hero, my role model, my dad, Archie Manning, to pass on something he loved to me. Dad, there's no one I would rather have or be more appropriate than you to welcome me to this stage. My dad enabled me to play balls with my brother, Cooper and Eli, the two best brothers a guy could ask for. And it gave my mom plenty of reasons to both beef me up and patch me up. You talk about lucking out with the most loving mother who could also break down a cover two defense as well as any NFL quarterback. In college, at my beloved alma mater, the University of Tennessee, football gave me a platform to help me grow as a man and refine my skills. Entering the NFL, the game gave me a profession where I could measure myself against the very best and live camaraderie at its deepest level. I always thrived on being coached, and I learned from some of the very best coaches in the business, many of whom are here tonight. Sadly, we have lost two special coaches to me this year, the great Howard Mudd and my good friend Greg Knapp. May they both rest in peace. After my playing career, I hung a whistle around my neck, and I've coached my son's flag football team for the past 2 years. Now, I'm not sure I'm a very good coach, but hopefully that role will enable me to make a hands-on contribution to the future of our sport. Over the years, I've had the most unbelievable support from family, friends, fans, coaches, teammates, and support staffs. And I just can't say thank you enough to all of you that have come here tonight to help me celebrate. To Jim Irsay and the Indianapolis Colts organization, my gratitude is off the charts. You drafted me in 1998, and it was a joy and a privilege to represent the Horseshoe. And to Pat Bowlen, the Bowlen family, and the Denver Broncos organization, you took a chance on me at a crucial moment in my career, and I will never forget it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. When I officially retired from football 5 years ago, whether in person, on a call, or in a handwritten letter, I said all the thank yous that we unfortunately don't have time to repeat tonight. But trust me, they are as heartfelt now as they were then. To my wife, Ashley, there are no right words to express how grateful I am for you. Thank you for your unstoppable love and support. And to our children, Marshall and Mosley, you came into the world at the exact time that I needed you most. the two of you have already given your mother and me a greater inheritance than we could ever leave you. If football has become my home, the people of the great states of Louisiana, Tennessee, Indiana, and Colorado have become my extended family. And as everyone knows, you can never really leave family behind. I never expected to stand on this stage tonight. If it weren't for those busts and the memories of forever loyal fans, tonight's details would blur and cheers would fade. However, our hearts will cradle the memories forever. Throughout our lives as players, coaches, staffs, and fans, we've become essential to the sports landscape. I don't know about you, but I'm not done with this game. I never will be. I'm committed to ensuring its future, and I hope you will join me in that commitment. As members of this honored class, we have a responsibility to make our game stronger, from the corner playground to the most celebrated stadiums. During the past 2 years, the game of football has been challenged by an explosion of sports and entertainment options, safety concerns, erupting social justice issues, and a worldwide pandemic. Displaced fans have taken on an entirely new meaning as our stadiums have been shut down and fans shut out. We certainly shouldn't walk away now. When we leave this stage tonight, it is no longer about us. It is about cultivating the game that has given so much to us. It's about nurturing football to live and thrive another day, another year, decade, and another generation. It's about guaranteeing that kids everywhere can learn, bond, grow, and have fun with every flag pulled, every tackle made, every pass thrown, every run, block, sack, and touchdown scored. The audience here tonight is made up of diehard fans who feel football deep in your bones. Now, we may have ignited the fire, but you have fanned the flames. Inevitably, those flames will be whipped by the winds of change, but they don't need to smolder. The future of this game is ours to shape. We just need to take tomorrow on our shoulders as readily as we donned our pads before each game. Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you and God bless football.
Again, that was Peyton Manning over the weekend being inducted into Canton. Man, that was fantastic to watch. That was awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you watched it live, I hope you didn't mind I put it in here. I don't think we can ever get enough of Peyton Manning and some of the stuff he had to say. All right, so that will do it for a Locked On Vols Tuesday edition. We'll be back on Wednesday for some Ward Wednesday and throughout some more coverage of Tennessee fall camp. Don't forget to check out Locked On Bets. Betting on the SEC, it doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get the daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. It's wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I enjoy it. We'll do it again on Wednesday. Until then, have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.